Let's open up our Bibles this evening to Revelations chapter 21. We have a word of prayer. Our dear precious Heavenly Father, we want to praise your name for all your goodness to us, dear Lord. The Lord, for especially salvation, the Lord, that you sent your Son into this world to die for us, to suffer on the cross, that he may pay the penalty of our sins, dear Heavenly Father. And dear Lord, we really, probably, truly can't comprehend that in reality. But dear Lord, we are able to comprehend the gift of salvation. And dear Heavenly Father, as we look around at the world and how they have no desire for that, dear Lord, they reject the things of God. They go the opposite track of the things of God. And dear Lord, we're thankful that you put a desire within our hearts, dear Lord. You put a thirsting in our soul, dear Lord, for the things of God. And we're so thankful for that. Dear Lord, it wasn't anything that we've done that allowed us to get that as far as any credit to ourselves, any work or whatever. But dear Lord, it's a gift of God, and we're so thankful for that. Dear Lord, we appreciate each one being in service this evening, dear Heavenly Father. You see some of the thoughts that we have here tonight, dear Lord. We ask you to allow them to be a blessing to our soul, be an encouragement, to be a challenge, whatever they need to be, dear Lord, that we'll give you the praise and the glory for it. So we ask you to anoint the word, anoint me that I'll bring as you would have us to, in Jesus' name, amen. I just wanted to make a comment before I started my message. There will be a couple comments that I'll make in this message that, just to let you know, this message was on my desk before I started preaching this morning. So when I get there, some will recognize what I mean. Some won't, but it doesn't matter. Revelations chapter 21, we're going to read verse 6 and 7. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountains of the water of life freely. And he that overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Verse 6 says there that God says, I will give unto him that is athirst. Everybody knows what it means to be thirsty. I enjoy water. I drink a lot of water at work. I usually buy a case of water, and I have a refrigerator there at work, when warm, well, I'll drink at least one bottle before lunchtime and things, a big bottle, not these little ones. In the warm weather, I can drink two or three even before lunchtime. But water, I enjoy water. Water is refreshing. If you like to drink water, water is refreshing. Water sometimes is the only thing that seems to quench your thirst sometimes at that time. A hot and sweaty day, and you don't want a soda, you don't want tea, you don't want juice or whatever. You just want some good cold water. And the verse here, as he says here in verse 6 here, I will give unto him that is athirst. You know, I can drink this and it can quench my thirst for a little bit of time. But you know what? I'm going to want more of this after a while. I'm going to need more of this. I'm going to go after more of this. And I thank God that when he saved our soul, and as I just prayed a little bit again, when he saved us, he gives us a desire for the things of God, a thirsting for the things of God, a longing for them things. And just as I mentioned, there are sometimes other things, whether soda, drinks, teas, or juices and everything. Sometimes you say, what do you want to drink? You know, I just want a good cold glass of water. That's what appeals to me. That's what, and I thank God, the things of God, the word of God, the blessings of God, that's what we have a desire. And God says, I will give those things to you. And if you're saved, I thank God you have a thirsting for the things of God. You know, I know we have a lot of things in our lives, and we have things to take care of, but I thank God there's one main thing in our life, a desire for those things of God. I thank God for that. As I said in my prayer, believe it, I didn't put that there. I didn't go somewhere and buy that on a shelf somewhere and say, I like this. God put that there. He says there in verse 6, I will give him that is athirst of the fountain of water of life freely. I thank God for this water. I thank God for this desire. We know the story of the woman at the well, as Jesus came and he spoke with the woman at the well. And there again, referring a little bit to natural water. And you know the story there is Jesus talked with the woman and he says, give me something to drink. He says, I want something to drink. And she says, the well is deep and you don't have anything to draw water with. And she says, you know, you need something to draw water. He goes, that's true. He says, but the water that I will give unto you, you'll never thirst again. And she didn't understand that. She couldn't comprehend what he was speaking of because she was speaking of literal water. And Jesus mentioned to her, he goes, if you drink this water, as I just mentioned, if you drink this water from this well, he says, you're going to be thirsty again. You're going to have a desire for that water again. But when the water that I give to you, the water that God gives to you, the water of salvation, you will never thirst again. And I thank God for that transformation that we had when he saved our soul and he gave us a desire for the things of God and help us to avoid the desire of the things of the world. I thank God for that. Because every person out there in the world, they're traveling after the things of the world. You know, in recent little bit of time, I think about some young people. And, you know, I know as we get older and our bodies aren't able to do what they used to do and things, but I see some young people and the excitement, the energy that they have. And I ponder it a lot. I think a lot, you know, and sometimes you think more sometimes. And I think, you know, as young people, my children and other their friends and things, you know, at their age and their stage, they're raising children. And they're wanting to go here and they're wanting to go there. They're wanting to accomplish this and do that and just parts of things of life. But, you know, I've done all those things. I can remember as growing up, you say, let's go there. That looks like fun. Or let's do this. That may look. And you've done those things. And you get to a point in life to where you're satisfied, for one. I'm just talking about natural things. And you don't have a longing for those things anymore. Like sometimes your children might want you to do some things. And like, I'm not really interested in doing those things anymore. Like you used to be. I used to be. As you get older. But God says, he says, I'll give you this water to this woman. He says, I'll give you this water and you'll never thirst again. I thank God for that. I thank God he can give us that water, that well of water that we won't have a thirst. The Bible, he talks to this woman, he says, there's a fountain. The Bible says a fountain. A fountain is a source of the water, a spring. I'm not going to go back over there, but I've read it many a times in Ezekiel. Ezekiel talks about a water ushering from the throne and going out north and south and eastward and everything. And it gives water. You can get into that water. And the verse goes on. He says he went measured out 1,000 cubits, I believe he said. And he says he was in the waters of his ankles. You know what? When you start tasting the things of God, you know what? And they're good to you. You know what you want? You want to go further. And he went out another 1,000 cubits, and he's up to maybe his knees. He went on a little further. He's up to his loins. Before long, he went out a little bit further, and it was rivers of water to swim in. I thank God for that. God says we can have a greater hunger and a greater thirst for the things of God if we so desire that. He says here in verse 6, he said unto him, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Of your joy, of your happiness, of your faith. The water of life freely. You know, a spring, most of us are familiar with a spring. That's where the source of a water comes from. You know, a stream, streams can dry up sometimes. We were going down the road today, and we were sitting down there in front of a Middlesex at the red light, right, making a left. And I guess it's really not, it's not a stream, but it's a overflow of water that comes in off the streets, I guess. And I just happened to be sitting there and I'm looking over, and I've never noticed that we got a lot of rain there. And water was flowing down that trench there, and water was going into that drain. But you know, I've never really remember seeing that before. Because it's never rained like it had. You know, I've never been at that spot when it's rained like that had at the particular time. But a spring or a stream and things, it can dry. I can redirect a stream. If there's a little stream, there's some small stream maybe running down there, I can get a tractor or whatever, and I can dig a trench, and I can have it be going that way. But a spring, it's where the water comes from. And it goes out in every direction, and you can't stop that up. The water of life freely. Verse 7 says, but he that overcometh, and that's my thought for this evening,
But he that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. If you want this fountain, if you want this water, as the woman, as he told the woman there at the well, he goes, the water that I have to give to you, he goes, you'll never thirst again. And this woman started to ask questions, I want of this water. Well, you know, there's a cost. There's a cost to have that water. And he changed the direction with the conversation of the woman. And you know, the conversation, because I want this water. Jesus said, okay, listen, and he didn't say this in the word, but he said, let's change directions a little bit. He goes, go call your husband. She goes, I don't have a husband. He goes, what you said is true, but you've had 4 husbands or 500, and the one that you're living with now is not your husband. She began to understand that this man was just not every ordinary man. There had to be something she had to overcome. We don't have all the other details behind that story and thing, but we know that in time, this woman went into the city to tell the people all the things that Christ had said to her. And I believe that this woman and the people of that city had a different outlook on life, and they accepted this water that Jesus had to offer to them. It's a cost. And he says here in verse 7, if you want this water, if you want this, verse 6, he says, I will give unto you him that is athirst of the water of fountain, of the water of life freely, and he that overcometh shall inherit all things. We have to overcome. We have to overcome. If we're going to live for God, if we're going to make heaven our home, if we're going to enjoy salvation in this world and walk through this world with Jesus Christ, we're going to have to overcome some things. And it's difficult. I hate to overcome anything. I hate to try to overcome anything. I don't care what it is. I'm not real good on a computer at all. And man, when I got to sit down, a couple months or so ago, my tags were due for the truck and things like that. And you know, I'm one, I just sign it, mail it in. Or Lynn, when she was off in the summertime, she'd run up to DMV. Of course, all that's changed. And they say, go online. I say, you know what? I got to learn to do this. So I go online. And you know, once you do it 2 or 3 or 4 or 5, 6 times, you get used to it. So I went online, and one tag came almost within a week or two. I just got my other ones yesterday. It's been probably a month. I'm starting to get worried. I hate to overcome anything. I have to sit down. I have to find the website. I have to sign in, get an account, and get your portal set up. And those, I hate those. I hate anything that's difficult. But you know, if we're going to live for God, we're going to have to overcome some things. We're going to have to overcome. And God says, he that overcometh shall inherit. I want to inherit heaven by the grace of God. God says, Jesus said, in my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. That was prepared. Not, he didn't say these words in the same sentence. That was prepared for you from the foundations of the world. God has prepared a place. I brought a message. Actually, it was a message. I brought it in camp meeting, I believe, or one of my revival messages in Hagerstown. That brother Danny made in his testimonies one time. And it just clicked with me. And I brought the message here and there too. And the title of it was, I don't remember if it's the exact title, but it was Empty Mansions. I think that's what it was. Empty Mansions. And I did a little skit there in Hagerstown, and it might have been for a revival. I don't remember what it was. But I had Brother Ralph and Brother Eddie, I believe. You know, those two are pretty good at working together. That. And I had them doing a picture or doing a little skit in front of everybody. And as they're walking from one end of the auditorium to the other, and they're coming, and I had them looking around like they're in heaven and just enjoying and looking at the beautiful things of heaven. And they meet one another, and they greet one another and say, thank God. And they said, yeah, he says, where do you live at? He says, I live down there in that mansion down there. He goes, well, I live over there. He goes, well, who's that mansion right there belong to? And I can't remember how all the details, but it was similar to this part to where they said, that belonged to Brother so-and-so. But he didn't make it. But he didn't make it. And that one belonged to another brother or sister over there, and they didn't make it. They failed to overcome. They failed to continue. And I believe that God has a place from the very time we're born, from the very time we're conceived. God says, you know what? Here's an inheritance for that person right there. Will we receive it? But he that overcometh shall receive the inheritance that God has prepared for them. And we can even go back from the foundation, he says, from the foundations of the world. That's kind of hard for us to comprehend. But we have to overcome. If you want this water of life freely in this world and the joy of heaven, you have to overcome. You must overcome. And he that overcometh, there is a big part that we have to play in it. You know, I've said this there again, things that I hate to overcome. I haven't really gone to a travel agent too often. Maybe one or two times that I can even remember. But I really like that idea. I like to go there and tell them, hey, I want to go to this place. And they set up the air flight and the payment and the hotel and maybe some excursions or whatever. They set it all up. And all I got to do is say yes and sign it and pay them and let's go. That's the way I like. When I got to sit down and figure it all out and things, I don't enjoy that. But he says, he that overcometh, we have a part to play. We have to overcome many things in life. We have to overcome disappointments. If you live for the Lord any period of time, you've disappointed yourself. I believe we all have.
Sure.
You've made mistakes. You've had to go back and ask God to forgive you. You may have had to ask somebody else to forgive you. And maybe that hasn't been just once. And I'm not talking to where you went back in sin. Some people have gone back. The Bible teaches that there are backsliders. People that have been saved, living for God, saved, sanctified, living for God, and went back into sin, and only by the grace and mercy of God that they came back. And God says, I'll forgive the backsliders if they repent. Let me tell you what, that's a hard thing to overcome. Because you know what happens? The enemy, he just sits there with his finger on that sore spot all your life.
Absolutely.
I said something one time, me and Brother Frank were in Grand Caymans, and we were talking to a young girl one morning. We always went down in the morning before service, and we went and sat and watched the water and sat on the benches. The places were closed. But this particular morning, there was a young girl. I think she was working in one of the stores or getting ready to go to work or a bus or something. And you know, Brother Frank, you know, he talks and talks and talks and talks. And we started to talk to her about being saved, about camp meeting or whatever. And she was a young girl and she was a native, I guess, somewhere there. So she was kind of a little bit tan skinned. So she wasn't black, but she was like a native of the Caymans or whatever. She was a very beautiful girl, very smooth face. And we made a comment. I made a comment to her. I said, you know, if you were to have an accident, and you were to have a large cut across your face and got a scar there. I said, eventually the pain will heal. I said, but that scar will be there. I said, it's good to, and the Bible says it's good to give your life to God while you're young. To give your life to them. But one of the things that we have to overcome, those things do come upon us, is disappointment. Discouragement. We have to overcome battles. We sang that song tonight. Stand up for Jesus. Stand up for Jesus. When the unnumberous foes are against us, when they're coming at us, when they seem to be overtaking us, when they seem to be destroying us, we have to overcome by faith that God can help us. We have to overcome our families. Jesus told us that in the Bible. He said, except you're willing to forsake your mother, your father, your brother, your sister, your children, and your own life. If you're not willing to be my disciple. We have to overcome people. Our family, our friends. I think it was Brother Jones preached one time. He says, you know when out of town people stop by? When you're ready to leave for church.
Yeah.
Now here you are getting ready a couple hours to leave for church or whatever. And hey, we're going to stop by and bid you. We ain't been there in a while. And they stop by. And what do? They expect you to stay home from church. And he went on there, made the reference. He goes, you stop by their house one day when they're headed to a football game or a baseball game or something. You know what's going to happen? You're going to sit there and they're going to go to the baseball game or football game. That's what Brother Jones, he said, well, we're going to church. Why don't you come on with us? I think Sister Linda said that during Thanksgiving. She goes, well, I got to get to go to church unless you're all going with me. We have to overcome family, friends. And as he said there, Jesus said, and I didn't want to make the last comment there, brothers, sisters, fathers, mothers, all those things. And the last thing is we have to overcome self. That's where sanctification comes into play. Self, well, I want to do this. God says we have to bring self under control. We have to overcome sickness. Some of us recognize that. We can pray and we desire the Lord to heal us or take care of us. Sometimes they can be small things in our lives. So, Lord, I'd really like you to heal this for me. But God, for whatever reason, he allows it. I've always said for years and things, and I even say it even more, I believe that God allows the body to decay in a way that awakes people that where they're headed somewhere else. You know, when we're 20 years old, when we were 20 years old, well, there's nothing that hurt me. Nothing. I mean, I watched some people, younger people, just run and jump off this pulpit. I mean this platform here, and do stuff. I could do that too, and jump off of a 4 or 5 foot high ladder or whatever. Not even a question. Can't do that today.
No.
You can't do that. And as people get older. And their eyesight, their hearing, arthritis, and they can't walk, they can't stand up, they can't do things. And I'm thinking that God has allowed this to awaken people. You're headed to the grave. You're headed somewhere that you don't know what's happening after that. Maybe you should consider that. You know, when we were children, we went to school. One thing we knew in first grade in school, we got 12 years to be in school. Once we got to the 11th, 9th, or 10th, or 11th grade there, we're realizing, you know what? There's something going to happen here in another couple years. And I need to prepare for that. Whether it be college, or military, or whatever, jobs, or marriage, or whatever. And that has gone through our entire life. Every part of our lives. I start to tinker a little bit now with the thought of retirement. Asking questions about this and that and things like that. 10 years ago, that wasn't, I don't know. They said, when are you going to retire? I said, I don't even know. I got to sit and think and count them up. I don't know. But that's another stage in my life and future. And every person has lived, they've had another stage that they're going to go into a life, and they've made preparation. Well, people, as they get older, they realize that the next stage is death. Where am I going after that? I should be, and I believe that God works with a soul. I believe God works with a mind and a soul. There's something after death. You better prepare. We have to overcome some things. We have to overcome false doctrine. So Lord, help us with false doctrine. The song in our songbook, and the song is called Overcome. Be an overcomer. In verse 2 there, it says, be an overcomer. And I thank God for the wordings that people, the lyrics that people put together. Be an overcomer. He who stands with you is a mighty one who is always true.
Yes.
You know, we have to overcome to believe that. I got a thought back here on my desk. I don't know if I'll really bring it. Just something that I've looked at a couple times, but it was during revival. We understand the value of things in our world. If I were to pull out my wallet and give you a $20 bill, you understand that value. You know exactly what that's about. If I were to give you things of the world, a car, or whatever, things of the world, we understand the value. Why do we understand it? Because we've dealt with it. I've dealt with money. You know, children. You can give a child. I can give my grandchildren a dollar. They don't have any. They don't know what that is. Oh, yeah, look, I got it. They don't know what it means. They might understand. They may go buy a piece of candy. That's about the extent of it. But I give you $20. You know exactly what it is. You understand the value. Not a one of us in here. Not a one of us in here has ever experienced heaven. We really cannot comprehend the value of heaven. But through faith, I have full confidence it's going to be the greatest thing we'll ever experience in our lives.
Yes.
Through faith. He who stands with you is a mighty one who is always true. I've never seen God face to face. I say I feel he's audibly talked to me in my mind to where that's clear to me. But to really comprehend or understand how great really God is, but to get a little enough faith, to have an understanding that God is going to be there with us in every single battle. I have to overcome the enemy telling me, no, he's not. Where is he at? You're in a hard, difficult way. Where is he at right now? One who is always true. In the sorest conflict, you shall win that day. Face the legions dark till they flee away. Verse 4, I like this verse. Be an overcomer, forward boldly go. That word boldly doesn't usually fit with us most of the time in dealing with the battles of life, in dealing with the battles of spiritual things. Not usually something that we are bold at doing. I'm boldly going through with God. But he tells us we have to have confidence in God. Be an overcomer, forward boldly go. What, anybody know what the next line is? You're strong enough. What if you count it so? Lord help us. I have to overcome that. Because you know what? We don't think that way. We just don't. Because God wants us to live by faith, to trust him by faith. And if I go out in my car, and I kind of a little bit this morning, I go out in my car and I turn the key and it starts every time for 10 years. And I get in there one day and it doesn't start, I'm going to be shocked and surprised. But if the same thing with God, if every time I had prayer or trust in God and he worked out that battle every single time, just like this, just like that, just like this, just like that, perfectly, you know what? We wouldn't have faith. Our faith is, Lord, I'm leaving my life in your hands, and I'm asking you to direct it. And I don't know what outcome of it. Are you strong enough? You are strong enough, if you count it so, strong enough to conquer through sustaining grace and to overcome every foe you face. Overcome. We have to overcome those things. Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 17, Jesus says here, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit said unto the churches. To him that overcometh, why give to eat of the hidden manna? And will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. You know, we have to overcome. That's kind of a backwards how I'm saying this. We have to overcome paying attention. We need to listen. You know, can you remember when you were in school? It's easy to fade. Think about this, that, the other. You have to bring your mind into it to overcome the devil. Remember what's going to happen tomorrow, what happened last week, or whatever there. But to him that overcometh, well, I give the hidden manna. You know, say with me with the thought that I'm going to bring. The Lord, I ponder a lot of things now and trying to, when you talk to people or deal with people, sometimes I can be hard with some people because they need to be woken up. We have a young girl at work, they just hired her and things, and this is just a small example of this, and I didn't do it with her, but somehow the conversation got on talking about hunting, I know what it was. She don't eat meat. That's what it is. She's a vegetarian or whatever. So I asked her about eating hamburgers or cows, and somehow she heard that I hunted. She said, you don't need to hunt. It ain't good to hunt. And then she heard that I was a minister too. And she says, doesn't the Bible say thou shalt not kill? And I didn't do this with her, but with some people, You know what God does with the Word of God to some people? And we'll read it maybe here later on in the message. God will use this Word to send you to hell because you won't understand it. No, I'm not talking about you in general. Because people will take it and misdirect it and say, I think it stands for this. Well, God will say, let you go ahead and believe that. Until you come to a place to overcome self, and Lord, I need to fall upon my face and have you deliver the Word of God to me. We're going to read something over in Corinthians. You probably understand what it was about the Jews and the Greeks. He uses the Word of God to be a stumbling block to them. I believe God uses the Word of God. There is going to be some people in the world, they are going to follow their own ways, be a Christian or be a religious person, be a religious individual. And I think Brother Bert said it tonight, there's a difference between a Christian and a Church of God person. There are people. I had one time somebody asked me, they said, I don't know how they asked me, but they asked me if what I was. Well, I said, I'm a Christian. And they said, well, everybody's a Christian, but what are you? They wanted me to say, Baptist or Methodist or Catholic or whatever. Everybody's a Christian, but what are you? See, there's a deception of people because they don't want to listen to the Spirit of God. They want to believe it themselves. And God says, I'll just let you leave the Word and you'll be damned in your soul. Because you don't have a desire to want to understand the Word of God and the Spirit. He that overcometh, let him have an ear what the Spirit saith unto the churches, and him who that overcometh, why give to eat of the hidden manna. I thank God for his goodness to us. How many times have you read the Word, especially when you first got saved, and God just opened it up to you? See, I've read that before, and even nowadays we can read it, and God just opens up little nuggets. Shows you some truth. Shows some. I've many messages I've brought. Like we did the other week about the rich man and Lazarus, and I brought that message about the rich man and Lazarus, and how the title message was 46 feet. Not a million years. But the Lord opens up our minds and just gives us a little more insight. He allows us when we're first saved to read the front part of this story, but as we get older, he shows us a little deeper insight of some things. It's that hidden manna. God doesn't do that for everybody in the world. God doesn't show everybody the hidden things. When Nicodemus came to Jesus, he goes, what do I do to inherit the kingdom of life? And Jesus says, you must be born again. Nicodemus had no idea what he was talking about. Brother Greg told us one time he was on a plane with a lady, and the lady asked him that very question. What does that mean to be born again? How many people out there in the world, if you were to say, in order for you to be saved, you must be born again? How many people would say, I don't know what it is? Your family, your life, there are many things that your neighbors don't know about you. Your family don't know about you. The private things of your life. You don't tell everybody your private stuff. You don't go out there and tell everybody how much money you make or your private affairs of your life. You don't do that. You just don't do that. It's just private and personal things of life. Well, God says, I'm going to do the same thing. I'm going to hide some things. And I'm only going to give it to the children that obey me. The children that have a desire that overcome, I will give to eat of the hidden manna. Lord, I want to overcome. Lord, I want to be faithful in this part of my life. And God says, those that overcome, why give the hidden manna? And I will give him a white stone, and in that stone, a new name. I mentioned the other week, I wonder how many people, if you told somebody what date your spiritual birthday is, how many people would have any idea what that means? I was born on May the 2nd, 1982. So what are you talking about? You were born July 29th. No, that was my physical birthday. But my spiritual birthday. Do people know that? A stone, a new name written, which no man saying, he that received it. Do we understand the hidden things of God? To know these things that God gives to us? But he that overcometh. I thank God for salvation. I thank God for salvation. I thank God for sanctification. I thank God for some of the types and shadows of the Old Testament of salvation. And I've been doing this for a while, and it's been really interesting in my own studies. You know, when I study the Word, you know, if you were to, you know, with Google, the way Google is now, it's amazing. It's amazing how that all that works. But before I use Bible Gateway a lot, so if I was going to use a phrase, pick a particular phrase or something, and you'd type it on Bible Gateway, well, unless it's actually word for word, I mean, everything has to be perfect, they'll say there's nothing in there. I'm like, I know it is. But I'll Google it. I'll say Google, you know, for God so loved the world. And it will just come up just like that. Show me where it is. Then I'll go to the Bible and look it up and things like that. But how many people understand that and understand? So when I brought that part of it up, sometimes I get off track. But when I brought that, I was doing that talking about Moses and Joshua crossing the Red Sea and Jordan River. And that was a shadow thing. And the question was, why did God take Moses and the children of Israel through the Red Sea? There was a direct path from the land of Egypt to the Canaan land that they say in time frame it would have taken them about a week to get there. But God took Moses and the children of Israel by the path of the Red Sea and got them there. And you know, God wants to see if you're going to overcome. What was it? You know the story there. They were in a stuck part. And the Bible says that God did that. Because during the day, as they left Egypt, God had a pillar of cloud to lead them during the day and a pillar of fire at night. So he led them. They didn't just take their own way. God led them right to that place of the Red Sea. Sometimes God will take us to a place that we'll question, why, Lord? Why am I here? Why did you bring me to this place? Because I want to see if you're going to overcome and you're going to trust me. Or you're going to fail and backtrack. You know what they said? They started to say, I'd rather be back in Egypt. I'd rather eat the things back in Egypt. I'd rather go back there. But the thing is about with that particular thing, what I said earlier in my message, and salvation is that way. I thank God when we come to God, when we come to the Lord and we bow before the Lord to get saved, he did that just as he did to Moses, to tell the people to stand still and see the salvation of God. Just accept it. And I thank God. God says, you just come to me. Let me do the work. Let me repent from sin. Let me do the work. Moses, stand still and see the salvation of God. And God took him across the Red Sea, allowed Pharaoh and his army to come across there and destroyed him. He goes, this day you'll never see him again. Now that wasn't the way it was when Joshua crossed Jordan River. When Joshua crossed Jordan River, there was a different scenario. And the Bible says it must have been this time of the year. It was the time of the time of the land where the water was plenished and things were growing and things, and the banks of the rivers were overflowing itself. And he said to take the priest, put the ark on the priest's shoulder, and to walk into the banks of the river. And when their ankles hit the river, God stopped the river right there. There was something they had to do. See, that's the thing between salvation and sanctification sometimes. God says, now that you're saved, I want you to trust me. And there's some things you're going to have to overcome and set aside in your life and live for me if you're going to inherit the kingdom of God. And the Bible says that those priests went into the water and the rivers stopped up and the priests walked across the water. They stood in the middle way there and the children of Israel crossed over on dry land. And God delivered them into the Canaan land. We talked a couple weeks ago about faith and works together. They go together to overcome. See, it's easy to just sit and let God do it. Lord, you do the work. And there's not a one of us in here that wouldn't like that. Just to sit back and say, Lord, you do the work, and I'll enjoy the fruits of it. God says, no, I need you to get involved some. I need you to trust some. I need you to go into the lion's den. I need you to go into a fiery furnace some. I need you to trust to overcome the enemy's lies that he brings. There are many things we have to overcome. Sometimes God saves us and delivers us, like he did with the children at the Red Sea. Sometimes God says there's some things that we need to do, that we need to overcome. There's a song, again, another song in our songbook. And I like this song. And some of the wording here, it's a blessing and encouragement to us. We're just going to read the chorus. The song is called Victory Through Grace. And the chorus says, not to the strong is the battle. I thank God for that. There again, backing up a little years ago, when I was 20, I was strong. I was healthy. I'll never forget the first time my back went out on me when I was probably in my very early 20s. And I was in bed days. And when I did get out of bed, I was using 2x4s as crutches and canes and going to work and hurting. And the verse in the Bible, and it says, back in Ecclesiastes there, I think it's Ecclesiastes, it talks about the strength of a young man is his glory. You know, and then the white hairs of an old man. And God just, I felt that God talked to me one time, and he says, even though you're young, my strength was gone. You all have back problems before. I mean, when your back's gone, you ain't doing anything. All you're doing is trying to find a position that you don't hurt. That's it. And hope and wait for it to heal. And but God, I remember God dealing with me. He said, even though you're young and you're strong, you're absolutely worthless right now. But he says, not to the strong. I cannot fight this battle on my own. Not a moment. The devil will just kill us just like that. When God allowed the enemy of the soul to go after Job, I mean, he just took over immediately. Not to the strong is the battle, not to the swift is the race. Now, I might have had some battles with the strong, but I wasn't worried too much about it with the swift. A lot of people, they think they're very educated, very wise, very smart. They don't need the wisdom of God. Not to the strong is the battle, not to the swift is the race, yet to the true and the faithful, victory is promised through grace. Have to overcome. We have to overcome. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I may mention this earlier, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, picking up in verse 18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to naught, to bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. What a pondering thought. The world by their own wisdom knew not God. You know how you got here? By an ape. By two things coming together and crashing together. And this started and everything's perfect harmony. The seasons, the times. That's what the wisdom of the world wants people to believe. The world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God. Now see what I said a little bit earlier in the message here. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jew a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. Jews and Greeks were wise, educated, learned men of the Old Testament. But if they didn't receive, if they didn't accept Jesus Christ, they lost their soul. They couldn't overcome. Paul had to overcome. Paul, when he got saved and changed his name from Saul to Paul, he had to overcome that Jewish tradition. This is the way it is. He had to overcome that. And God had to help him to do that. There are many people, they just won't overcome. Some things overcome is understanding. We have to have an understanding that God's way is best. God is smarter than us. Verse 23 there again, but we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto Greeks foolishness. Let's go to Revelation chapter 3, last verse of Scripture. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 21. To him that overcometh, Jesus says, to him that overcometh, will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I overcome and am set down with my Father in his throne. Jesus had to overcome the cross. In the Garden of Gethsemane, Lord, if there's another way. He wanted it to do something else. Every one of us could say that same thing. Lord, if there's a different way, if there's something else, whatever life situation is, God says, no. This is where I place you. This is the track you're going to take. And I'm going to be with you. I'm going to give you the grace. I'm going to go with you every step of the way. I'm not going to leave you. I'm not going to abandon you. This is the way. And Jesus said, to him that overcometh, just as I had to overcome, and Jesus had to go to the Father three times before he finally came to the place, not my will, Lord, but your will be done. And that's what we have to do from time to time. And God, you know, I'm looking at everybody here, been living for the Lord for a while. My grandchildren, it's tough sometimes. They want to stay with us. We went yesterday and watched them play T-ball. And every time we do that, they want to come with us at home. Well, I just had a lot of things to do yesterday and things, and Lynn knew it. And I'm like, I told her, if you want them to come, I said, they're yours. I said, I can't. I got things to do. You know I got things to do. So they didn't go, but they put on the crybaby, and they don't want to go with Grandma. And Grandpa, I mean, they're crying, and they're having a fit. And that's tough. That's tough on us. You know, we're like ready to give in. All right, come on. God doesn't do that at all. I mean, as much as we plead to God and cry to God and beg God and reason with God, God says, I'm not moving. This is where I need you to be. It's tough. It's tough. God does it with great love. He doesn't say, oh, you know, you're starting to really pull my heart and maybe I'll let you go your way. God says, no, I'm not going to let you go your way. I need you to go the way I want you to go. To him that overcometh, will I grant to sit with me in my throne. I thank God. I have no desire, no even small desire, to sit next to Jesus Christ on the throne. I know that he's not talking about that. But I want to be at the feet of Christ, at the throne of God. Sometimes there was some disciples, they said, Lord, grant us, and the mother, Jesus asked to grant them, that my sons can sit on the right and on the left-hand side. Jesus said, that's not for me to give. And I know he's not talking about that. And some people may interpret that way. To him that overcometh, will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame. Jesus had to overcome. And you know what Jesus had to overcome? Jesus had to overcome self. In the garden, he had to overcome self. He didn't want to go through what he had to. I think some of the greatest things we have to overcome is self. Absolutely. It's sometimes easy to say no to parents or children or friends or whatever, your work or whatever. But I don't want to tell myself, no, I don't want to do what I want to do. But God said, no, I need you to overcome self. Jesus says, we have to do that if we want to have a desire to sit with him, to reign with him in the kingdom of God. I thank God I don't have to overcome for you, and you don't have to overcome for me. God gives you enough grace for you to overcome, and he gives me enough grace to overcome. And I know we can pray for one another, we can carry each other's burdens and things like that, but I thank God I don't have to overcome for someone else. I don't have to overcome for my wife or my children or my grandchildren. I don't have to overcome for those things. I have to overcome for me. Are you overcoming for yourself? Are you overcoming for you? Because God's going to require us to overcome. May the Lord bless you as we have a song.
Let's open our psalm and turn to page 165. 165.
Jesus reigns within my heart, O bears. I fear to find a sacrifice or fitting gift to bring. Earth's treasure had too little run to offer to my King. My gift is small. Jesus reigns within my heart, O words. No guilt I'll ever grant, or grief will pay the debt I owe. I bring myself, my life, my heart, a living debt soul. I give the small within my heart, O grace. My members all I gladly yield for service, Lord, to thee, to bear the blessed gospel light, the heaven Christ may see. I serve this Lord, it is my accept the Lord, I pray. Let the cell be slain, let Jesus reign within my heart.